Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Everybody, welcome to More Than That. This week we have a very special guest. Well, he's pretty regular, but his name is
Rafael Gonza,
and my name is Tyler Henry. So, Rafael, the premise of the whole podcast is to give us, you know, 10 extra minutes or so, whatever it ends up being. So you had the last. You had, like, the last chapter of Exodus.
And yeah.
You're exiting us out of Exodus with this. So if you had 10 extra minutes to rabbit trail, introduce a new topic, what would it be?
So this is what actually, like, I wanted to spend a little bit of time in, but I actually, I recognized that it was going to take a lot of time. But but I try to really capture what you were seeing in Exodus chapter 40. And what you see in Exodus chapter 40 is God, basically the story of God moving forward. So what I wanted to spend some time today doing is just kind of maybe giving us an overview of his story. And I used that. You saw that. It's God's people. So there's Israel. And then there's God's person, mm-hmm. who's Moses. God's people in God's place, right? In God's place under God's power. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what you see at the beginning. So that's the parting of the kingdom. Like when you come to our Christian story class, and I watch a lot of people that have taken Christian story, that at least have, they've really enjoyed that. And I saw their minds, the lights coming on, because this is what we talk about. Mm-hmm. The fact that, like, when you are looking at Christian story, you're looking at what is God doing in the grand scheme of things, going from, you know, what going from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. So what I was doing even on Sunday, recap, like almost summarizing chapter 40, was wanting to show how that story goes. So let me give us an overview of, like, what you see as the story of God mm-hmm. moving. It's basically God's people, you know, in God's place, you know, under God's power. In our text, we saw that. We saw God's place being the tabernacle, obviously because God is holy mm-hmm. and his people are prone to wander, prone to sin. And we see God saying, I want to be with you the same way he wanted to be with his people in the Garden of Eden. So in the Garden of Eden, this was God's place, a sanctuary, where he had his people, Adam and Eve, and they were under God's power. They were told, hey, this is what you need to do, this is what you don't do, you know, and they were meant to live forever. And the culmination of creation is what? Is rest. Is this true freedom? Shalom. Mm-hmm. Shalom, where there's just this unity and there's this, like, just this peace of God that's there. That's actually, like, where they're enjoying unhindered freedom, because they're just, like, it's the image of God fully radiant, right? Mm-hmm. But then Genesis 3 is the perished kingdom. The perished kingdom, where what ends up happening there is actually now you're seeing God's people, right? God's people now being kicked out of God's place, right? And because they've rebelled, they've actually like done an insurrection. They've rebelled against God's power, right? Mm-hmm. So they end up coming out of there. And we see now the promised kingdom coming now through the, it's promised in Genesis chapter 3, the proto-evangelium, the gospel before the gospel, where Christ, where there's a promise of the seed will crush the what? The head of the serpent. God covers them. And when he covers them, we see now in Genesis chapter 12, God pulling a family, Abraham, selecting that family and promising that through you all nations will be blessed. Through you all nations will be blessed. He is going to have a seed, and that seed is the one who's going to be the, he's all the children like that come out of him. Like through him, there's the seed, which is actually Christ is going to come from there. The story moves forward, Jacob, and then Jacob, Joseph, and therefore Exodus, right? That's where we are. Mm-hmm. And in the story, in fact, the book of Exodus begins with actually like the people were so many.
Mm-hmm.
The people were so many. And which is actually like an echo of actually the promise that actually God had now blessed and multiplied his people,
mm-hmm.
right? Even in exile. And so Pharaoh comes in as almost like that same serpent who came in the garden, and he's going against multiplication. So what does he do? He literally wants to short circuit actually multiplication. He has children killed. He has children killed and all that. So Pharaoh comes in almost as like actually this tyrant who is actually a serpent-like figure who's coming in basically to come and do it and circumvent God's multiplication plan, which is moving the story forward.
Mm-hmm.
So when you basically get to see at the end of Exodus there, you get to see God now has rescued his people, keeping a promise that he made in Genesis chapter 15, that your children are going to go into exile, but I'm going to bring them out, and I'm going to rescue them. So God has finally rescued them. But now we see what we will say, a partial kingdom. God has now moved in the midst of his people, and his people are there. He's given them the Ten Commandments, and they're living underneath his power. But sin still is a threat to them,
mm-hmm.
right? There's this partial kingdom, you know, God's people. God is, his place now is the tabernacle, and then they're living underneath his power and every single thing that he's called them to do. But then you see the story moving forward. When you get to Psalms and Proverbs, you get to see what is known about the Psalms and Proverbs. It's actually metaphors. Mm-hmm. Which is actually the pictured kingdom. Blessed is the one who does not walk, who does not sit, who does not, you know, does not stand in the way of sinners, but he's like a tree that is planted. And Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting to see the pictured kingdom of like, this is what a kingdom citizen looks like. You do this, you'll be blessed. You do this, you will actually like, there's this like, blessing and foolishness. There's this mm-hmm. like blessing and perishing kind of thing. So that's actually now like where the partial kingdom leads to. The partial kingdom is actually Moses, and then we get to the judges, we get to the prophet, we get to the prophets now. We get to the King David, but then we see the prophesied kingdom. That's where we see Jeremiah and Isaiah prophesying that, mm-hmm. like, yeah, there's still, you know, and the what's actually still going on there is God's people, and God's people in God's place. So in the promised land, it was God's people in God's place, but then God's power is what's being rebelled against. Mm-hmm. We see that actually also in the kings. We see it prophesied in the kingdom prophesied. We see what is this sin? The sin is still idolatry. They're still struggling. They're God's people in God's place, you know, God's people in God's place, but they're struggling to live under his power. What ends up happening? They get exiled. So they're now God's people removed from God's place, and they're now underneath what? the power of maybe whether it's Nebuchadnezzar, whether it's Darius, whether it's whatever, you know, whether it's Esther, whether it's all those people. So you're seeing that fight is there, but there's a prophecy that like, hey, unto us a son will be born, like he's coming. That's where Christ comes in. He's the present kingdom. So if you saw on Sunday, what I was doing is that I was showing you what Moses has done partially, but I was showing also what is done presently in Christ. Christ is the present kingdom. He shows up, and where Moses might have failed, where David might have failed, where prophets might have failed, we're seeing Jesus being the person. And who ushers now, actually, what to who believed in his name, he may gave them what? The right to become children of God. So through Jesus now, we become the children of God. And Jesus is, so now Jesus fulfills, he's God's place, he's God's person, and then he brings God's power. He pleases God in every way, leading to the church now. What is the church meant to be? It's meant to be God's people, the church, capital C. Capital C, and then what I would say, capital C, the church, represented in your commitment in little C, the local church, God's people, covenanted with each other under God's place, right, which is actually the church, the locality of it, right? Locality and the universal church, the church of all ages, right? That's now like under God's place and then under God's power, which is the power that God has poured his spirit. Now he lives inside within us. So the church is now this proclaimed kingdom where we're already, but not yet. And it's moving towards the perfected kingdom, which is what you see in Revelation 21 to 22, where now what we see at the beginning, they say that if you miss it at the the Bible starts with the garden, it ends with the garden. And which is actually what? God's people under God's God's people in God's place under God's power, and there all things are becoming new again. And God, and even there's no more light, that because Jesus and the Almighty God are the lamp of the city. They're the ones. So that's actually like what it would have taken longer. But that's biblical theology. This is actually like where, so my goal there was just to really show that like there's a story moving here. And at the same time as well, like Moses ends up outside and he can't enter, which is why we cannot neglect the book of Leviticus. Because the book of Leviticus now starts showing you all these sacrifices that need to be made, all these be holy as I am holy. And it shows how then do you relate with the holy God, you know? And then Deuteronomy is going to repeat some of these commands and all that stuff. And Numbers is because they've been so stubborn and they end up dying actually in the desert. And literally Numbers seems like they're repeating, but it's actually teaching the same things to a new generation. And they're right before they get to what? The promised land. And so you get to see just all that in place. So
pretty cool, like going through Exodus, and like I read Leviticus last year. Like I just like took my time through it. Just really tried to absorb all that Leviticus is, and that's a task in and of itself. Just like Exodus. Because there's so much more detail in Leviticus that we don't get in Exodus, but like they're complementary. So, that's really good. You know, as you were talking, like you kept bringing up Eden, and you've brought up Eden throughout. Exodus. So, in our current culture, there's a specific group of people that are trying to bring Eden here now. So could you speak to that a little bit? Like what does it actually look like? What biblically speaking, what is it? What is this whole idea of Eden being a kind of like a real, like a reality, but at the same time, it's not Like, how, like, could you speak to that a little bit and what, how we could think biblically about this concept of Eden in our current context?
I think this is actually like where, and I don't know if you know this, my background and the background of City Church as a whole, mm-hmm. Is that we came from, a charismatic Pentecostal tradition,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not really like, there's something, you know, there's something there that actually, like, where sometimes we, you know, we call it the already but not yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we emphasized a lot on the already, and we wanted the already to be the ultimate, and we lost sight of the not yet.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, that's good.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
Wanting the already to be. So Christ has freed us. We see the work on the cross, yes? And Christ has conquered, yes? And then, but I'm still struggling with sin. Mm-hmm. What do I do with this already? So I then begin to deny the fact that, like, whether it's actually like I've been adopted, now I'm an heir, Christ is my brother, and I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, I've been saved, but yet I still see sin in my life. I know that at the cross, you know, all our sins were taken care of, by His stripes were healed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, actually, like, why is it that I'm still seeing disease ravaging my body?
Yeah.
Does Christ still heal today? Yes, but should He always heal today? Like, you see what I mean? That's actually,
yeah.
So that's now what you're talking about there, mm-hmm. that our desire is to wanting to see, and Christ, God calls us to desire to see Him do all these things here.
Oh, yeah.
But yet, actually, like, when we pray for healing and it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that God has failed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, either way, the Christian is going to get a full healing,
mm-hmm.
because in the not yet is where the consummation of everything. So we never lose. And I think that's actually like when we set ourselves and we lose sight of the not yet, what we end up doing is that we end up setting ourselves to be disappointed in wanting. Basically, at the end of the day, we end up becoming like the young brother,
mm-hmm.
in the parable of the two sons. We call it the parable of the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
We've become the young brother who says, Dad, I want everything. I can't wait for you to finish your race and die, right? I can't wait for a future event. I want everything now.
Yeah.
But yet there's some things where obviously God is like, no, that's not how I've designed this thing. That's not how is it inevitable for you to suffer? Yes, it is. Because there's still scriptures like, it is if you desire to live a godly life, you will what? You will suffer,
mm-hmm.
right? There's scriptures that say you will face persecution. There's scriptures that basically like, what then at the end of the day, anyone who desires to see Eden here, yes, we want to see justice come. Yes, we want to see. And God says, pursue that. Be part of that. Take part in that. Preach the gospel. Share it. Be generous. Like, work. If God has gifted you to be a lawyer, work to see God's justice come.
Yeah.
But also be mindful that it will not be fully achieved here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see what I mean? So we participate, but yet we still. That's why we still keep our eye on the not yet. And mm-hmm. we then basically still keep crying, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. come. And what that means is that that's one of the reasons why we put in our confession every single Sunday the blessed hope, mm-hmm. where we're still just looking and saying, hey, guys, I know right now you might be facing whatever you're facing, but there's going to be a day. Hold on to your confession of faith. And what that does is that, like, it doesn't set you up to where at the end of the day you end up unconfessing what you've confessed by basically, like, you're now disappointed with God. You end up actually deconstructing. Some people end up deconstructing in that way,
mm-hmm.
because they they forget that there's this who are still in the already but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's still yet to come and reconcile all things. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Especially because that concept is so, like, bringing Eden here,
mm-hmm.
is such a prevalent thing. Like, we're striving for this utopia,
mm-hmm.
that God wants to bring.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, are we trying to force his hand?
Yeah.
And say, hey, look, we've manufactured this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's ready. You can do your thing now.
Yeah.
Now we get to tell God what to do rather than God telling us what to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like exactly what we see in Exodus. Like, we see that, like, you know, with the golden calf and stuff,
yeah.
and everything, we see that the Israelites are trying to manufacture this presence of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than letting the tabernacle just be set up as God wants it set up.
Yeah.
So, like, God's prescribing all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're so quick to want to do it our way.
Yeah, yeah.
That we neglect what's in Scripture, which is how God wants things to be done.
That's good, man. Yeah, yeah.
And then we're like, okay, well, you know, okay, golden calf time. You know, I got this celebrity over here. I got this pastor over here. This philosopher, this apologist, whoever you want to throw in there. Mm-hmm. This church model.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I get it. I know what you're trying to do. I appreciate it.
Hmm.
But are you being faithful to what God has prescribed?
Yeah. That's good. That's actually, you know, by you touching on that, it kind of brings everything full circle,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, like, and I think Peter Swift, who leads one of the leaders for our home group, he pointed mm-hmm. it out yesterday, how God still decides how he wants to be worshipped.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, so even the tabernacle, you know, The difference within the golden calf and the tabernacle is the fact that they designed a God that we want him to look like this. We want him mm-hmm. to be shiny. We want him to be...
shiny is attractive. Yeah. I mean, I'm a guy. Like.
But yet, actually, like, what you get to see is you see this God who is intentional about, I will be worshipped this way, and you will follow this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually, you will not force my hand in fitting your design.
Yeah.
But within how I want to be worshipped is your true freedom.
Yes.
Because now, bringing that to today, and I love that, at least how you even thought about the whole idea of Eden, we lose out on a fellowship with Christ if we try to create utopia here. There's mm-hmm. a whole side of the gospel that we miss out on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually, and we miss out on a bigger part of the Bible, which is lamenting,
mm-hmm.
which is actually like acknowledging or lamenting, and then also like meeting with Christ in a way where Paul says, I want to know Christ and the what? and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If I try to create utopia, I will refuse to come down from whatever utopia that is. Mm-hmm. And then I will miss out on the fellowship of, what's that fellowship like when you feel so immobile?
Yeah.
Well, what's that fellowship like when you feel like when everyone has left you? That Paul, he says that like, he says, everyone left me, but God stood by me. Mm-hmm. What's it like for this one who was brought so low for me to be able to fellowship with him when cancer is tearing through my body?
Yeah.
When literally I can now meditate on the agonies of the cross and all that stuff, and it becomes a lot more clear to me. And he is the man of sorrows. I can now, he's well acquainted with grief. Mm-hmm. When divorce happens, when an infant dies, when an injustice happens and all that stuff, we forfeit a certain growth that actually would happen. The discipleship that happens in suffering, mm-hmm. we forfeit that if we just try to champion Eden,
basically. Yeah, and, you know, this is a really important point to make.
Yeah.
But also, another important point to make is that just because, let's say, you know, perfect scenario.
Yeah.
That utopia is reached.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That doesn't mean that evil and suffering go away.
Yeah, that's the
so
thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
Like, the whole purpose of utopia is to get away from.
Yeah.
From evil and suffering, but yet that still doesn't mean that cancer goes away, that tornadoes go away, that hurricanes go away. We might have this like perfect society that is like to use that buzzword, mm-hmm. perfectly equitable.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to reach that at some point.
Yeah,
let's say we do. Does that mean that cancer goes away? No. Our bodies are going to mutate and cells are going to mutate because of the sun and stuff like that, which then produce skin cancer. Like, we're not going to escape that.
Yeah.
And then that then causes us to question, is this really utopia?
Yeah. That's now the other
But then
side.
Revelation comes in and is like, no, that's not.
It's not. Yeah.
This is.
Yeah. And that's actually now the irony of Exodus is this. Rescue them from the promise, from the land of slavery. They have this enemy from outside. But then chapter 15, 16, going upwards, starts revealing the enemy on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they're complaining, they're discontent and all that stuff. So I'm just saying that, like, there's no perfect church, there's no perfect world, there's no perfect mm-hmm. whatever. Like, you know, even if you were to take people and then go start in an island and you say, these are perfect rules and all that stuff, but you still took there and put sinful people,
mm-hmm.
which is actually, at the end of the day, what we need is we need Christ to come back again.
Yes.
And he's the one who's going to now make everything new.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is cast down, and all of a sudden there... Basically, we cannot, which is what I say this in Exodus, preaching Exodus chapter 34, I think, when God is saying, hey, I'm going to give you the promised land, but I'm not going with you. As long as he's not there, it's not the promised land.
Yeah.
that's at the end of the day. That's actually like the promised land is actually God in their midst.
Mm-hmm.
For them, and which is actually like now going back to Christianity, heaven without Jesus is not heaven.
Yeah.
That's actually at the end of mm-hmm. the
day. We could go further.
Yeah,
we could go further.
But hey, I'm excited about what's coming up again.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing Why Do We Do That? Mm-hmm. Looking at Acts chapter 2. Also putting out like a prayer guide
mm-hmm.
that just tracks through all the prayers in the book of Acts. And I just, I'm excited about that and just like seeing what the proclaimed kingdom, which is actually where we are right now, looks like. Yeah,
yeah, that's really good. I'm excited for it too. Yeah. Like, I get to see, you know, where we're going because I have access to that document. But you know, it's cool. I'm excited to hear that exposition and just to learn more about why City Church does
what
the
we
things
do.
That
yeah.
we do.
Yeah, that we do. Yeah.
So. And as an apologist, I love that stuff.
That's
so, Raphael, thank you for walking us through Exodus. Thank you, Larry, Earl, everybody else, Trevor, Gus, all of those, everybody that has contributed to this series. Thank you so much for your dedicated hard work. And I'm looking forward to the coming series and the next series after that. As well, so we want to remind you that this isn't a replacement for the sermon Sunday service. It's just a supplement. So please get plugged in wherever you can. Get plugged in, get serving, get experiencing the kingdom of God. So Raphael, again, thank you so much. Have a blessed week.
Thank you.
Premium Beat.com. We'll be right back.